Bobby Cohen is back, and his show is Takeover Talk. And here is Bobby Cohen.
Thank you, Doug. It's Monday, October 8th, and today is another live hour of Takeover Talk. I'm your host, Bobby Cohen. Happy Columbus Day, and the stock market is open. Our focus will be to assist you in acquiring the most current and comprehensive information on potential public takeover targets in the U.S. capital markets. Now remember, I'm just guiding you to this information. You need to do your own due diligence before buying or selling any stock. M&A, which is the acronym for mergers and acquisitions, is unpredictable, and it's usually not in the best interest to acquire stocks simply because rumors are percolating. You have to like it as a standalone company as well. Okay, as I mentioned, today is another live hour of Takeover Talk. You know, I just wanted to start the show by talking about the stock market in general, because I have been getting hit with a tremendous amount of phone calls, text messages, and emails asking me about the direction of the stock market. Now, again, I'm not a prognosticator, not a forecaster of the Dow Industrial Average or the Standard & Poor's. I just want you to know that, okay? I don't wear that hat. But I do want to help you put things in perspective, okay? If the Dow Industrial Average is currently trading at around 26,300, 26,400, just be aware, be cognizant that on March 6th, 2009, which was a little bit over 10 years ago, the Dow Industrial Average had hit a low of 6,443. Okay? So over a more than a 10-year period, the Dow Industrial Average has gone up. The simple math, approximately 20,000. Okay? But more importantly, the Dow Industrial Average back on October 9th, 2007 was trading as high as 14,164. And then within a year and a half, it had corrected approximately 54% to that number that I gave you, the March 6, 2009 number of 6,443. Now, the reason why I am telling you this, and again, I'm not a prognosticator of the stock market by any means. Trees don't grow to the sky. Recently, interest rate worries have continued to weigh on the stock market. That's right. For many years, the Fed had an easy interest rate policy, so there was no competition for the stock market to grab people's money. People would say, quote unquote, it was the only game in town. So people, from what I was told and from the smart people that I had spoken with and speak to, had mentioned that people were pushed into the stock market. Well, fast forward, recently, the 10-year Treasury is kissing 3.25%. That's up significantly from where it was over the last year and a half, 2 years. Like it or not, it looks like interest rates are moving higher. Okay? Now you have to say to yourself, are you a long-term investor or are you just a trader? Well, if you're a long-term investor, you know there are going to be hiccups along the way, that there's going to be corrections. That I can guarantee you, there will be. We just don't know when. If you could stomach that, that is fine. But if you're a trader and you see the 10-year Treasury kissing 3.25% and also taking a look at where one-year CD rates are, risk-free money. Yes, risk-free. A CD is currently the rate is 2.55% for 1 year. Locked in. So you have to say to yourself, if rates would continue to go higher than the 3.25% of where the 10 years approximately trading, will the stock market continue to correct from here? And if it does correct, how much it will correct and how much you as an investor and or trader could stomach. Again, there will be corrections along the way. If you're a trader and you ask me this question, there's nothing wrong with taking some money off the table. Again, the Dow was a little bit over 6,400 on March 6, 2009. It's up over 20,000 over the last 10, 11 years. I'm not saying it's not going higher, but if we're in a nine-inning game, is it safe to say we're past the rain delay, that we're in the sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth inning? I do not know. Keep an eye on that 10-year Treasury. Keep in mind, again, there's an inverse relationship between bond prices and yield. If bond prices go down, by definition, yield will go up. So I just wanted to opine in reference to the question that I get asked the most when people see me, if they call me, if they text me, if they email me. Everybody wants to know, Bobby, what do you think about the direction of the stock market? And therefore, I just gave you this brief answer. Hopefully I was helpful, but just know that there will be speed bumps along the way. Okay. The first company I'd like to discuss is Acme Technologies. The symbol, AKAM. Stock is currently trading at $65. The 52-week high is $83.08. The 52-week low is $49.59. Optimy engages in the provision of cloud services for delivering, optimizing, and securing content and business applications over the internet. Now, M&A has been active in the software space, and I remembered a name that has been front and center over the last few years as a potential takeover target. That's correct. And the name was Optimy. So I figured I'd revisit this name. I first went back 2 years ago and found a Benzinga article. The headline, Oppenheimer, the investment bank, thinks Optimy would make a good takeover target. Optimy could also be a viable acquisition target for any company looking to create unique, highly secure cloud capabilities. But we do not believe it is for sale, the article said. Regardless, we believe Optimy would be a great fit for Microsoft, Cisco, Oracle, and many other companies looking to break into the cloud service space, said the Oppenheimer analyst. So I did some additional digging. I found a May 10th, 2018, TheStreet.com article. The headline, Optimy's CEO doesn't shut door on a sale or deal of its own. The article says there could be a for sale sign painted in the ground at tech pioneer Optimy. The article goes on to say that Optimy, the symbol AKAM, has long been rumored to be a prime takeover candidate by big tech names such as Cisco and Microsoft. The investment bank Credit Suisse technology analyst Brad Zelnick, he recently speculated that the most deal fit for Optimy would be IBM. Wow. Let's dust that one off the shelf. IBM. Very interesting. That's Optimy, AKAM. Continue to do your own due diligence on this one. Put it on your radar screen. Very interesting. Okay. The next name I'd like to discuss with you is Roku Inc. The symbol ROKU. Stocks currently trading at $63.46. The 52-week high is $77.57. The 52-week low, $18.35. Roku engages in the provision of a streaming platform for television. I was combing the web a few days ago and found a very good Barron's.com article dated October 2nd, 2018. The headline, Roku is getting big enough to be a buyout target. Here's who might want it. The rapid rise in the value of Roku stock has been difficult to ignore in 2018, the article mentioned. And as the company continues to grow bigger, companies could start circling for a potential buyout. The article goes on to say that could mean interest from a range of companies, including Amazon, but also big internet companies such as Facebook and Alphabet's Google, and even Verizon Communications and AT&T. The article mentions that should Roku eventually decide to sell, according to investment bank Needham & Company, others might try to swoop in with a sweeter deal. The Needham report stated that once one party says, I'm buying this out from under the rest of you, other people will step up. Interesting. The Needham analyst sees Amazon as the likeliest buyer. But the article finishes up by saying other options besides the internet giants could be media companies such as CBS or Viacom, or conglomerates such as AT&T and Verizon. Wow. This was a very good article. Let's put Roku, R-O-K-U, on our radar screen. But do your homework on this one. That was Roku. Okay. Call in and talk to me. The dial-in number, you have a pencil, piece of paper? 1-888-627-6008. The call-in number, and talk to me. I'm your host, Bobby Cohen, is 1-888-627-6008. My number one job is to help you identify potential takeover targets. Keep in mind, my relationship with my listeners is the highest level of special. Takeovers are alive and well. And I want you all, each and every one of my listeners, to know it's an honor to serve all my listeners. Okay. The next company I'd like to discuss with you. You know what? Before I get to the next company, Doug just whispered in my ear, we have a caller. It's Alex. Alex, it's Bobby. Thank you for calling.
Hey, Bobby. How you doing?
Hey, Alex. How are you doing today?
I'm hanging in there.
Okay. I wanted to
congratulate you. I think the last time I called in, you had made a call on Pandora being a potential acquisition target. And I know I didn't get to listen in the last couple of Mondays, but that was a great call.
Well, Alex, thank you. And all I could say, even a blind monkey grabs a banana occasionally, and a broken clock is right twice a day. But thank you very much. That's what I try to do. That's what I try to do for all my listeners. But thank you, Alex. Thank you.
Oh, no, thank you. Thank you. I wanted to get your opinion on something today. It's about what level of due diligence you do to weed out rumors and speculation versus concrete evidence and facts. Because, you know, we do a lot of reading. We look at these message boards. You know, people are always talking about this one is, you know, Apple's buying this company, Microsoft is buying this company. But, you know, what do you do to really get into the thick of things and understand whether or not a company that's being rumored as a takeover target is actually a takeover target?
That's a wonderful question, Alex. So, you know, so really, what do I do to get granular? Is really your question. When I go in the high weeds, looking for good intel for potential takeover targets. That's a very good question. Well, first and foremost, when there's a filing, which is an 8K filing, as some of my listeners might know, and you obviously know you're a sophisticated investor from, I believe, last time you called, I believe you said you're a hedge fund manager, which means that when there's a material event, the issuer has, I believe, Alex, 4 days to file what's called an 8K.
Right.
And so if there is, and I'm going to be mentioning one or two situations later, where the company itself states that they are going to put themselves up for sale, or they're going to, or the board of directors is going to do a strategic review. By definition,
right. That
has to be in an 8K filing, and that, you know, that checks a box. Like, wow, you know, that, you know, that's big. That's big when a company is putting itself up for sale, or the board of directors is going to, you know, do a strategic review of its assets. That within itself says volumes. That says that the company is proactive, and most of the time, the verbiage that would be put in there that you would like to hear is that the board or the special committee believes the company, you know, they want to enhance shareholder value. Those are words, Alex, as you know, you love to hear if you're a shareholder. To enhance shareholder value. So, you know, that's front and center. You know, that one's front and center. But, you know, there's a lot of times there's just a lot of noise. And, you know, your question is, Bobby, what's real and what's Memorex? Well, look, we have to go under the premise that most of the time it's just noise. It's nothing tangible. It's nothing cogent, you know? So you have to go under the premise of that. And that's the reason why I always mention to everybody, you don't buy a company just because rumors of a potential takeover are percolating, Alex. You have to like it as a standalone company. You understand now the reason why I said that? Because by definition, most of those rumors are just rumors and noise, and they never come to fruition.
Right.
Okay?
Okay, great. So what I was really wondering is, have you ever found yourself, you know, reading one of these message boards or a Seeking Alpha article and actually uncovering some factually correct information that's led you to accurately predict one of these takeovers?
Well, I do want you to know, since the show is in the early stages, and I believe this is my 11th or 12th show, we have discussed numerous companies already. I'd say approximately 75, just for a round number. And believe it or not, some of the material that we discuss with our listeners have eventually went to the next level and have become 8K events for the company. So some of those reports were early, but we're target on. So you never know. You never dismiss. But keep in mind, you know, there are a lot of smart people out there. There's a lot of smart analysts. And if you follow the smart money, one being an activist investor, I mean, let's be real. I love following a guy like Carl Icahn. I mean, this guy almost gives you the map to the buried treasure. Alex, he does the heavy lifting. He does that. He does that due diligence. So, you know, keep in mind, if you follow activist investors, and I'm going to talk about Barnes & Noble shortly, you know, Rick Schottenfeld, we talked about it on July 30th when the stock was $6. It came out last week, and the company actually said that they're probably going to put itself up to sale. They said it. The stock jumped 20%. But we had been early because we had done some due diligence. We had found certain articles and whatever. I mean, you never know. So case in point, yes, a Barnes & Noble was one, just like that. But
right.
we got tipped off because Schottenfeld, at the time, had bought over 5% of the company, and he was already rattling the trees. So you gotta keep that in mind. You gotta keep that in mind. An activist investor, an AK event, looking at some real good research, from top notch investment banks. You know, they really do their homework, Alex, and they can be helpful. Okay.
Yeah, definitely. You know, every once in a while, I see an article about, a liquor company thinking about acquiring a solar company, and you never know whether or not these things are new until you actually see it happen, and it's very tough to make an educated decision on whether or not that's the right information and how you can act on it. But I appreciate your insight.
Okay, Alex. I hope I was helpful, and always keep in mind, like I always say, making money in the stock market, it ain't easy, right? You got to do your homework.
No.
Correct, Alex?
Always. Always. All right, Bobby, I'll keep listening in. We'll be back to you soon.
Thanks again, Alex. Thanks for calling, and enjoy the holiday.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, that was Alex. Hey, Doug, do we have another caller? Hi. Deke?
Hey, Bob, how are you?
Good. Who's this, Pete?
Yep. How you doing, Bobby?
Hey, there he is, Pete. Thanks for calling in, Pete.
How's it? Good. Just wanted to call in, let you know that I've been looking at some other stuff lately. Aside from the markets, one quick thing I wanted to mention. I know we were talking about potential takeovers in the cannabis arena.
Correct.
One is Aurora, and I think that's been out there for the last couple of weeks because of the beverage. But Coca-Cola has been mentioned frequently as a potential buyer of Aurora Cannabis.
Correct.
I know that I think Aurora is going to be listed on. I think it's the New York or one of the major exchanges. I think it's ABCFF is the symbol. I gave you the symbol last week. But anyway, just to mention that if you haven't already seen it. And then also, too, I'll get your take on, looking at the long bonds as far as the effects it may have on the market in general.
Yeah. Well, I had just had a conversation in the beginning of the show. I was thinking, and maybe you would agree, the 10-year note is more front and center these days than the 30-year, even though the 30-year bond is still looked
right.
at. But I say with the 10-year, just touching 3.25% could possibly, and I just want to just reiterate, could be taking some air out of the balloon in the stock market here, because for the last many years, the stock market had no competition from any other potential investments because interest rates were so low. And it's almost like the
right.
Federal Reserve pushed everyone to the risk asset, which is the stock market. And now that we're seeing
right.
the 10-year bond come down, which means rates rise, there is some competition
yes.
for people's money out there. And
absolutely.
And believe it or not, Pete, I did mention before, people, their memory always doesn't serve them well. Back in I believe, March of 2009. Pete, do you know the Dow Industrial Average was trading at around, I think, 6,500? That means the Dow has rallied over 10 years or 11 years, 20,000 points.
I know.
And Pete, and for people to think there may not be a correction, I think they're just fooling themselves. Again, Pete, and feel free to hop in. I can't tell people, I'm not a prognosticator, like I mentioned, and I don't know when the market is going to correct again in a big way, meaning, you know, at least 10, 15%. But I do know one day it's going to happen. And I just want everyone to be prepared for that. Am I right, Pete?
I agree 100%. And people have to be aware, because right now everybody is of the, and I speak with a lot of people, a lot of investors, and everybody is of the, you know, of the opinion that the market's going to just keep on going up. Just keep throwing money in the market. You're not going to lose. You're never going to lose. I don't like when I start hearing that terminology. Again, you know, they're the mechanics of things these days that they put in place, meaning, you know, the government spending, the Federal Reserve. They're able to keep things higher and stable a lot longer than they used to. Okay. Let's face it. They control the printing press. The central banks across, they coordinate with the central banks across the globe, obviously. So they can at certain times, and don't forget the players that were involved 10, 15 years ago before the financial crisis, they've dwindled, you know, they've been, you know, out of the game. So you're talking a lot of big boys that are basically in the game, and you're talking about a handful of stocks that keep raising the averages. Don't get me wrong, a lot of stocks have gone ballistic, but, you know, FANG stocks, you have your head into the markets. You know which stocks everybody gravitates towards. So at some point in time, it's like anything else. Things have to revert back to the mean. When? Nobody has a crystal ball, but we're closer rather than further away from that. Let's put it that way. And like you said, the long bond, we're starting to see just little minor indications. And I heard from somebody yesterday, very smart, saying that, it was from the Fed's Bullard. He mentioned that, growth is going to be good this year, but watch out in 19 and 20, it's not going to be sustainable. So reversing, you never know when they may have to reverse course. That's why they're raising rates at a rapid pace, because they're going to have to put some meat on the bone to, just in case they have to reverse course and start lowering rates again.
Listen to me, Pete. I totally agree with you. You don't know. Nobody knows. Maybe 3-4 years from now, it'll be a QE3, a QE4. I don't know what they, you know what I mean, an easing. You know what I mean? A quantitative easing 4 or 5. I have no idea. But we only live in the here and now, okay? And I agree with you, Pete.
Exactly.
I totally agree with you that water will seek its own level. I just want to make sure my listeners are prepared, meaning if they are buy and hold people, then they're buy and hold. And they recognize that the Dow could have a serious correction, and they're prepared. If they're traders, well, then maybe, just maybe, it's time to take a few dollars off the table. That's all I was saying, okay?
Well, absolutely. And one caveat before I go, as you were mentioning the 10-year bond and the yield hanging around 3.25, there was an ominous little statement made yesterday about watch out in the housing market, because they're saying the mortgage rates are going to start spiking. So, and the days of the cheap interest rates for housing, for the mortgage market, are over. So just a caveat, just to watch out and have your listeners also to watch out for.
I totally agree, Pete. And listen, Pete, I give you kudos for all the good intel that you disseminate to all the listeners. And all I could hope is that you'll call in again next week as well with your good thoughts. Okay, Pete?
Yeah, you got it. All right. Thanks, Bobby. Have a great day.
Thanks, Pete. Thank you very much. Hi, that was Pete. He had a good question just in reference to Aurora, which was a marijuana stock, but he also had a question he wanted to discuss, you know, again, the 10-year treasury and the rates possibly being a competition to the stock market. Okay, we have another call. We have Owen. Owen? Hello?
Hey, Bobby?
Yes, is this Owen?
Yeah, it's Owen. Hey, how you been, Bobby?
Good, Owen. How you been?
Oh, hanging in there. So Bobby, I want to know what you're thinking about cryptocurrency at this point in time. We've seen it kind of slow down a little bit and the market kind of cool off. What's your thoughts?
Okay, well, Owen, thank you for being a first-time caller, by the way, Owen. I appreciate that. It's a challenge for me to opine on cryptocurrency, specifically Bitcoin or the other usual suspects. I'm not really too familiar with that, except that I do believe, Owen, that that it needs to be regulated. And until you get a real market, it needs to be regulated by the Securities and Exchange Commission or whoever the regulators might be. If that happens, I think then the integrity of the system of cryptocurrencies and I'm not questioning blockchain because I don't know much about it, but I hear that, you know, blockchain is one thing, but cryptocurrency is another thing. But it's my belief that once cryptocurrencies are to get regulated and people won't be questioning the integrity of the markets, that, you know, maybe there'll be a better bid to these cryptocurrencies going forward. Again, it's very challenging for me to opine on something that I am not really educated on, Owen. How about you? Are you involved in cryptos currently right now, or are you thinking about putting your toe in the water?
We're thinking about it.
Okay.
What?
Yeah. I'm sorry. I don't mean to speak over you, Owen. Hello? Owen?
Sorry, Bobby. It's just that.
No, that's okay.
We're looking at it. We're still, I think it's still too early to tell the direction and whether or not we're going to take a serious position. We have been playing to some degree in the cryptocurrencies. I was just wondering what you were thinking.
Okay, I appreciate that. And Owen, since I have you on, what do you think about where the Dow is currently at? You know, a little bit over 26,000. Do you think the air is getting thin, or do you believe that there's more room in this?
I think the air is getting thin. I think the air is some of the things that you were speaking about earlier. I think spikes in interest rates as we watch them go up, uncertainty in the administration. I think the air is getting thin. I think we need to see some of the fallout, if there is any fallout from the Mueller investigation and some of the other geopolitical scenarios that are happening around the world.
I want to get your opinion, Owen, because, you know, you seem like a very knowledgeable and educated guy, and I always get my best ideas from other people. And if it's a nine-inning game, I think we'll well past the rain delay, but that's just my own opinion.
Same here. Take care, Bobby. Okay. Good talking to you.
Thanks, Owen. Thank you very much. Yeah, that's great. That was Owen, first-time caller. That was a great question in reference to cryptocurrencies. You know, I got to get, you know, more up to speed on that. But again, it's a challenge for me to opine on something that I don't have my arms around. And the last thing I'd want to do was to give Owen or any of my listeners bad direction. Okay. Well, you know what? I'd like to go to a radio commercial right now. Okay. Looking for a quick, personalized insurance quote? Go no further. I found one of the best insurance agents in New York State. His name is Steve Foray. He heads up the Foray Agency, located in East Islip, New York. Give him and his team a call now at 631-581-3400. That's 631-581-3400. Steve Foray, who might I add, is a very active member in his community, specializes in competitive pricing for most of your insurance needs, which includes auto insurance, homeowners insurance, renters insurance, life insurance, and small business insurance. Again, call Steve Foray at 631-581-3400. That's 631-581-3400. Their insurance agents have been serving New York communities for two generations. Each Foray agent is licensed to help you and your family with all your insurance needs. At the Foray agency, you'll get the personalized service and professional insurance advice you are looking for. Again, look no further. Call Steve Foray now for any type of insurance quote. His number is 631-581-3400. 631-581-3400. You won't be disappointed. Just mention you heard about his agency from Bobby Cohen on Takeover Talk. Again, his number is 631-581-3400. That's 631-581-3400. Call Steve today. He's waiting for your call. Thank you. That was the Foray Agency in East Islip, New York. Okay. Another company I'd like to mention to my listeners is Ameren Corporation. The symbol AMRN. Currently trading at $18.70. The 52-week high is $20.50. The 52-week low is $2.35. Ameren is a biopharmaceutical company which focuses on the commercialization and development of therapies for cardiovascular health. First day with my tongue, I'm sorry. This biotech company has had a tremendous run over the last few weeks after it came out with strong top-line results for its FDA-approved drug, Vascepta. I found it terrific, a terrific Seeking Alpha article dated October 5th, 2018. The headliner was Ameren is a likely acquisition target. There were five bullet points in this article. The first one, Ameren appears likely to be acquired by a major pharmaceutical company. The second bullet point, trying to market and achieve full prescription potential for a multi-billion dollar drug is challenging for a small independent company. The third bullet point, a typical acquisition premium from its current price would result in Ameren being valued at around $30 per share, he writes in the article. Keep in mind, the stock's under 19. The fourth bullet point, Ameren could end up with more than 374 million shares outstanding, making a significantly higher price than the $30 per share more challenging to achieve. The fifth bullet point, $30 per share is equal to around 4.1 times peak sales of the $2.7 billion that Citibank had estimated. The Seeking Alpha article finishes up by saying it seems likely that the end result for Ameren is that it will be acquired by a larger pharmaceutical company. Its lead FDA-approved drug, Vascepa, appears to have a tremendous amount of potential, given the top-line results. And if the detailed results are similarly positive, Vascepa could be a multi-billion dollar drug. While Ameren indicates that it has the supply capabilities to support $1 billion in revenues next year, a larger organization would be better equipped to maximize Vascepa's sales. That's what the Seeking Alpha article mentioned. Wow. Talk about a bullish article. The writer of this article is not shy. He believes Ameren, will be a likely takeover target. Yes, a likely takeover target. That was Ameren. Put that on your radar screen. Ameren. Okay, we have another caller. Franco. It's Bobby, Takeover Talk. How are you?
Hi, Bobby. How are you? Always nice talking to you.
You the same, Franco. Thank you for always calling in. What's on your mind, Franco?
Yes. I just wanted to ask you something referring to... remember when you mentioned GW Pharmaceuticals a while ago?
Yes. GW and Pharmaceuticals, the symbol... Yes, GWPH.
Right,
yes, I remember
right,
that.
You mentioned it as a potential takeover. And I just was wondering, I think it's in the marijuana space. And what do you think the price should be then, if it gets takeover? And, I just want to, thank you very much for your opinion.
Okay, great. Franco, thank you for that. Thank you for the question, and that's a very good question. GW Pharmaceuticals was a company in the cannabis space that we had mentioned a few weeks ago as a potential takeover target. They're one of the few companies that has an FDA-approved product that I believe that's made out of some sort of cannabis product. And I believe it is for the treatment of adolescent epilepsy is my belief. And I do believe going back, Franco, a couple years ago, I think it was an October 2016 article. I do not remember the name of the article. I kind of forgot that. But I believe in the article, it made reference to the big investment bank, Goldman Sachs. And they mentioned that even though it was a small chance of GW Pharmaceutical getting taken over back then, because it was, almost 2 years ago, that in the article, I believe it was mentioned that they put a $349 price target on GW Pharmaceuticals if it was to be taken over. Well, if you do the simple math, Franco, I think the stock has been in a downtrend over the last few days. Well, the whole market's been coming down a little bit, and I think the stock is currently trading at around $145. If you do the simple math, they have it, again, that article, you know, and a lot has happened since then, their article mentioned that as a potential takeover at $349. That would be, as per that article, more than 100% return on your money based on what Goldman Sachs had mentioned, Franco. So that's the, you know, that's really the only company that I could make reference to when you're asking me about an exact price target of where GW Pharmaceutical could possibly trade if it was to get taken over, Franco. Was that helpful?
Yes, very helpful, as usual. Thank you very much, Bobby, and look forward to talk to you soon.
Okay, Franco. And Franco, I'm asking everybody who seems to be calling, obviously you're in the stock market. Do you have an opinion yourself in reference to, we know the Dow Jones has come a long way over the last 10, 11 years. It's up like 20,000 points. Do you believe somewhere down the line that we should just prepare ourselves for a correction? What do you think about the Dow Industrial Average? And are you a long-term buyer, meaning a buy and hold person yourself, or do you like to trade the market, Franco?
No, I am a long-time, you know, a buyer for, and I like to hold the stocks. What I believe is based on the past 30 years, everything that goes up must come down. So eventually that might happen. There's got to be a reason for it. I think it has something to do with what's going to happen with China. But what I think, instead of, you know, going crazy and selling, it's just better to hold on to it, what you have. And if it goes down too low, buy more. This way you average what you already pay for it.
Right, right. No, you know what? That's one train of thought as well. You know, that some people like to buy and hold. And if the market should correct and they believe that their stocks are quote-unquote on sale, that they would purchase more. And then there were people that like to trade the market and feel that they would need just to take some money off the table, so always just to have a cash reserve. But I wanted your opinion, Franco, and I appreciate you opining on it, okay, on that question.
Thank you, Bobby. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Franco. Thank you very much. Okay, that was Franco. Boy, always good questions from Franco. He's a regular, by the way. He's a very smart guy. And again, I asked him, he's a buy and hold guy. Okay, and you know, there are plenty of buy and hold people in the stock market. And there are plenty of traders in the stock market. That's what makes a market, no pun intended. Okay, the next company I'd like to discuss with you is Micron Technology, the symbol MU. The stock is currently trading at $42.83. The 52-week high is $64.66. The 52-week low is $37.52. Now, MU, which is Micron Technology, engages in the designs and building of semiconductor memory and storage technologies. Now, how I came across this name, again, was from one of my listeners. I had a listener contact me about this name, Micron Technology, asking me, Bobby, if this company could be a potential takeover target. So what I do, I comb the web. I did my homework. The stock has gotten crushed recently, just obliterated from its 52-week high. So I found a NASDAQ, NASDAQ.com article dated March 13th, 2018. The headline, Micron technology stock soars on two bagger predictions. M&A speculation. Now keep in mind, it's a dated article, and a lot could have happened since March of 2018. But it states that a Nomura investment bank analyst boosted his stock price target on MU from $55 a share to $100 a share. Wow. Was stated that the analyst believed among the semiconductor names, Micron is within a small group that has a growing scale. That combined with the company's cheap valuation makes Micron a solid buyout target, the analyst's words, not mine, a solid buyout target. The article finishes up by saying the urgency for either Broadcom and or Intel to do a deal now, while Micron is below the analyst's $100 price target, should be high, especially with the stock still trading at an enormous discount of 6x fiscal 2018 profit estimates. Okay, that was Micron Technology. Extremely volatile stock, not for the weak of heart. Well, Doug is whispering to me, wow, an hour goes fast. If you want to contact me, please shoot me off an email at rcohen9074@aol.com. That's rcohen9074@aol.com. This has been Takeover Talk. I'm your host, Bobby Cohen. And until next week, thank you.